Podcast this week is brought to you by Bloke and a Bar Beer.
Klutzy, I have been abstaining from blokes for a little bit too long.
Oh, dude.
And it's all coming to a head.
Oh, dude. I know exactly what you were talking about.
This Saturday, obviously, Josh and I will be taking part in the Podcast Royale. In preparation for the fight, I've given up the one thing that means most to me in life, and that is Bloke and a Bar Beer. And there's one thing that I'll be doing as soon as that bell goes in the final round.
Yeah, you can be rest assured that we will be fucking smashing so many blokes down our throats come Saturday night.
Yeah, and probably Sunday.
And Sunday.
Maybe even Monday.
You know what? Fuck it. I'm going on a bender.
Yeah, we might go on a bender. Yeah,
we might go on a bender.
Maybe we should record a few eps, get ahead, and just go on a bender.
Yeah, fuck. I think we deserve it.
Yeah, I think we deserve it as well. And I think if you're listening to this, you deserve it.
Yeah, fucking oath. You deserve to go on a bender with blokes down your throat with Bloke and a Bar Beer.
That's
so
it.
Make sure you head to bloke.shop.
Blokeandabar.com.
Blokeandabar.com, sorry. You can also go to bloke.shop. They probably got some merch there too.
They do.
But go to bloke.com. Go to the store locator and put in your postcode to find where your nearest stockist is.
Get some bloke. You deserve it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The podcast this week is brought to you by Domino's.
It is brought to you by Domino's. Now, as you know, Klutzy and I have been hard training for the Boxing Royale, which took place over the weekend. Domino's hit us up today and we're like, we've got a bit of a reward, boys, for all your hard work. We really want you to treat yourself this week. Ooh. So they've come to us with a new code for us to share, but we thought, you know, let's share it with the frothies as well. Why not? Like, they didn't specify saying that it's not for everyone else.
Yep.
Now, the code is BBB. B, there's four B's. Just I wanted to like just emphasize that to make sure people know I'm serious. Four B's, WK,
okay.
Which stands for Boost Week.
Basically. Ooh, lovely. BBB Boost Week.
So for this week only until Sunday, you can get one pizza for 30% off, two pizzas for 40% off, or three pizzas for 50% off using that code.
That's fucking incredible.
It is fucking incredible, Josh.
It is so good. And I think we have earned a lot of pizzas.
Yeah, I might have 50,000 pizzas this week just to make up for it.
Yeah, what? So that's like, you're only going to pay for like 25,000 of worth.
Yeah, so we're essentially making money.
Yeah, exactly.
You're getting 25,000 pizzas for free.
When you do bike maths, it's essentially you're eating for free for the rest of your life.
The more you eat, the more you make.
Fucking oath.
So if you want to make money this week, go to Domino's and use the code BBBBWK.
Beers. Bloody brilliant. Beers. Bloody brilliant sport.
And welcome back to the Bloody Brilliant Beers podcast brought to you by Bluebet.
That's Klutz, I'm Dars. We are the Bloody Brilliant Beers. We started out reviewing craft beers on Facebook and now we bring you the conversations that you'd more likely hear from the front bar at your local. And Klutzy, where are we today, mate?
Mate, we're at the Caxton Hotel and everything just feels right again.
It does feel right again. We're joined, not as always, but this week by our good friend Jack Cronin on the couch. How are you, mate?
Good. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah, very good to have you back. Klutzy's right. Everything does just feel right
Everything
again.
Everything feels right again.
Yep. Would you say this is the first time it's felt right since we've been back?
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Maybe you're the one. You still turn me on. You can make me whole again.
It's been slowly getting better and better and better since we've come back. And now we're finally whole again.
We've peaked and we're where we should be.
We're where we should be. Exactly right. And we are doing the sports show where, as always, we'd say if you're here for a breakdown of stats and analysis, we'd ask that you kindly
fuck off.
Kindly fuck off. Now, the elephant in the room or the wolf in the room.
Yep.
Will be the giant flag next to Jack Cronin.
And fucking eyes.
The jersey I'm currently wearing.
Yes. Shout out to Granny the Pom, first and foremost. We got a little care package that we spoke about the other day briefly, but we are now a part of The Wire.
Yep.
The Warrington Wolves supporter group.
Wholeheartedly.
Fucking oath. And there's no looking back.
Yeah.
There is no looking back.
When does their season start? Is it on?
It's already on.
Yeah.
No. I'd like to, sorry, distance myself. I'm not a Wire man.
Oh, okay.
I'll sit next to the flag. But I appreciate you guys.
What are you?
I don't have a team at the moment.
How come?
I'm between teams.
Why? Do you follow players?
I was a Leeds man because Caesar was there, but now he's gone.
Of course.
So now I'm bumped
off. Support the Tigers.
What would it take you to come back to The Wire?
I don't know. They're a cursed franchise, as I've said before, and I already follow enough of those.
I was going to say, you support the Raiders.
Yeah, so I know, so I don't want to make it too
blue and gold, though. Just school colours.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I did have a flirtation with the Wolves when Blake Austin was there, but I've moved on.
So anytime, I don't want to go back. Anytime any Raiders player goes to a Super League,
just jump on that team briefly. Yeah. Briefly. Yeah, I don't know.
Jesus, well, if they're quarantined this year, there'll be plenty of them going to the Super League next year.
Check the table, bro.
I will.
Yes, footy is back.
It is. I just want to give a quick shout out before we dive into league.
Yep.
We've been making some great predictions on you this podcast. Been, yeah. And I'd like to include Jack Cronin in with this as well.
Sure.
I'm happy with that.
We've been doing some great predictions for the last couple of months now. And one of the greatest things happened last Saturday.
Yep. Talk us through it.
And that was the Queensland Reds flopped their cocks out at Suncorp Stadium
yep.
in front of 18,000 people, I believe it was.
Packed. Yeah. Hanging off yeah. the roof.
You yeah. couldn't get a ticket anyway.
No, you couldn't. You couldn't because once the doors are closed, you can't buy extra tickets. But they're actually playing fucking awesome
Mate, it was,
football.
I watched it. It was a great game.
Great game. And people who are in the know with rugby union, the Chiefs are tipped to win it this year.
Really?
And they're fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs are proper good.
Yeah.
And we just decided to say, no, fuck off back to Waikato, you dogs.
Yep. Suck on those eggs.
And who was the one that delivered the final
turn
blow?
The ball over.
Turn the ball over in the last 8 seconds of the game to get a crucial penalty in the 23rd phase was Harry fucking McLaughlin Phillips.
Yep.
My pick for a bolter for the Wallaby squad this year.
There you
year.
Go.
Holy fuck.
Was that
fuck.
The third game of the season? He's already pulling shit like that out of his
exactly.
ass?
Exactly. He's creating a great combination with Tom Liner
yep.
Where Tom comes off
they're
and
both pretty
goes
young,
on.
Eh?
They're both young. They're both like 20, 21, maybe 22.
Which is great max. For Queensland.
Really good for us. We've been having plenty of discussions in different group chats about the state of the Queensland Reds and what's going to happen when injured players come back. Yep. I don't know if there's room for James O'Connor.
Bang.
It's crazy.
That's massive. Yeah.
I know. Huge call. Cronin hates it's so hard to drop someone at the moment.
Yep.
Cronin also that's hates going to the Reds, but...
Hey, I went to round one.
Yeah, I know. Will you be back this year?
Oh, yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
They keep winning.
Tell you what.
That is the thing, hey. I feel like if the Reds keep winning, they will get
They'll
so
pack
many
out
people Uncle. There.
For sure, yeah. mate. Yeah. Have a look at the Lions.
We are fair yeah. weather fans massively
yeah.
with the Reds.
Absolutely, yeah. And the AFL, I reckon.
Yeah, well, Lions, I reckon, now have a stronger base than they did. More than the Reds are completely dependent on
wins.
Success.
Yeah.
On. But like even round one, they had 14K. That was against the Tars. You'd think against the New Zealand team would be less. It was up.
Yeah.
I reckon again, it'll go up again.
100%.
The next game.
They're playing much. Good footy, like entertaining yeah. footy as well.
And on the coverage, I thought the noise when McLaughlin Phillips got the pilfer, it sounded way louder.
All the players, on the ground were saying it was so, so loud. Yeah. I loved Harry Wilson, big friend of the podcast, Harry Wilson's reaction. You could see he was like, he was in and around the ruck in the previous phase. He had a part in the... in like the tackle and
yeah,
then
he fucked the cunt
I think he could have had an opportunity to get into that last phase, but he went and stood like one wider of the ruck.
Yeah.
And then when the penalty got blown, he just like faced the crowd and put both of his hands
up. It looked like a Dragon Ball Z character.
Yeah, it was fucking sick. He was so pumped.
Yeah, it was fucking awesome.
What I was going to say is like, obviously footy's been back for a little while now, but we were overseas, been a bit out of the loop, but I had my first moment of like, holy fuck, how good is this? Saturday last week.
Yeah.
Got home. I can't remember what we're doing. We went out to lunch. My missus and I, and we get home. I put on the Titans Dragons game. I just literally horizontal on the couch. She's like, I'm gonna go watch Netflix in bed. I was like, sweet, you do that. And then she just went to sleep. And then I was like, you know what? I'm gonna roll this straight into the Reds. And I just had like two back to back, completely uninterrupted games.
Yeah, nice.
Of footy on the couch. And I was like, holy fuck, this is life from now till October.
That's so good.
And I've had
that's a great realization.
I've had a hard cock ever since.
Yeah, nice. Well, we'll get that checked.
Could fall can you off. Check it for me, please, mate?
Yes, I can.
Give me an oil change. But as I did say, we were overseas for obviously the split round and whatever. So we thought we'd ask our good friend Crow with his 2 feet on the ground here at the Caxton to give us a bit of a recap of the round that was.
Yes, yes. Well, I think they were talking about on the Hello Sport Pod, but the favourites went down big time.
Yeah.
It was two favourites out of 8-1. And I also did the same as Eddie and was just like, I'll just back the favourites round one, play it safe.
Yeah.
And it backfired massively. And it's the same every year I do it. I'm like, I don't really know. You know, I don't want to read too much into the trials. I don't want to do this. I'm just going to back the favourites. And the favourites always win like two or three games.
Yeah.
And they were not like $1.80 to $2 favorites. They were like
short.
The Raiders were at $3 to beat the Knights on Thursday night. 13 plus.
The Knights had one of the great back ends of the season of all time.
Straight.
Yeah.
One 10 straight. And they beat the Raiders, who had five starters out in the finals last year. And it was like, wow, this Knights team's incredible. And the Raiders, with only three starters out this time, go and beat them by 16. So it's like crazy.
Yeah.
First 13-plus victory of the year. Yep. And it's
round one.
Round one. You didn't do that at all last year.
I know. So it's a new era for Raiders rugby league.
Don't steal the Queensland Reds tagline, please.
No, we won't, because we've got our own tagline. You might have seen the sign of the sheds. Fuck them. That's what the Raiders are saying this year.
That was one of the greatest things ever. Yeah. Who made that? Like,
mate, they were claiming it was made by Ricky. That's actually the Raiders branding and guidelines.
100%. I can imagine Ricky having the idea, and just he wouldn't have had the right contact. He'd be like, "You make this happen," and some bloke would have been like, "Fucking Ricky thinks it's my job to make these stupid fucking signs."
Yeah, it would have been someone in marketing.
Yeah, I was gonna say there would have been some marketing coordinator sitting at their desk with a full screen "fuck him" in front.
You know, can I
please borrow your card to print this off?
That's gave me a little bit of respect for the Raiders this year. Yep. Is that, like, everyone's writing them off, saying there's a good chance they'll come last.
Yep. They're favourites for the spoon.
Yeah, but just fuck them.
Do you reckon the marketing coordinator who made it needed to get approval to print in colour?
Yeah, I don't know. It was laminated as well, so this wasn't on a whim. This was the thing that they really wanted in the sheds.
Yeah.
Do you reckon they've had it for years and it's just been hiding somewhere?
Yeah.
Well, maybe. Maybe. But I will say, like, I had a good feeling before the game, because the players, all the week leading into, they all kept saying, you know, no one expects us to do anything this year, so who cares? Like, and it's like, usually players are like, you know, we don't read the press, blah, blah, blah. But they were all like, no, we've heard, like, and we want to show
listening.
It. Yeah, we want to show them. So fair play to them. And the other thing, the overarching thing was, I was shocked at how good the standard of games was in Vegas after watching this round.
Yeah.
The Vegas games looked like a regular, like middle of season, almost finals intensity type thing. A lot of the games this weekend were garbage. Like, but that's to be expected.
Round one.
Round one, sloppy. It's still a bit dewy and that type of thing. The weather, it's humid. But the Vegas games, like, I was super impressed. I don't know what you guys thought watching it at the ground. But
whenever I watch the footy live, I struggle to tell you if it's a good game or who played well or whatever. But something, I listened to a podcast. It might have been Cooper and Matty Johns, and they were saying that, and again, don't quote me on these numbers, but like the average game for the round at halftime had 280 tackles or something, and the Vegas games had 360, and they were just it was just such a faster paced game. Yeah. Almost like they almost
fuck all errors as well.
That's what I was gonna say. They almost like said it was similar to Origin intensity and blah blah blah. So, but the atmosphere was fucking electric. Yeah,
I'll tell you what, my biggest surprise from everything was how good fucking Manly looked.
Yeah, they looked really 100%, sharp.
Yeah.
But, and like,
pains me to say that.
I think of a Seabold coach team, really.
Yeah. I've said it a few times before, but like, I have always been brought up to hate Manly.
Yeah.
But I'm really fucking struggling to hate this Manly team.
Yeah, they're too nice.
You got,
like, the Trbojevic.
The captain. Yeah, the Trbojevic just seem like fucking lovely blokes. Mm. You got DCE, who captains the state and the nation.
Can't hate him.
Ruben Garrick's lovely fucking man. Awesome. Yeah. Love that cunt. And they've literally just got nice dudes left, right, and center.
Yep.
I mean, Jason Saab probably needs a little bit of media training, but that's all right. He seems like a good fella otherwise.
I don't think he's going to be fucking getting interviewed post-game for a little while after that injury, the poor bloke.
Definitely not. But yeah, rugby league is back, baby.
I did have a couple more things from the weekend just gone. So it was something I kind of said during the Thursday game to Georgia watching the Raiders, but I was like, it ended up, it really hit me on the Saturday during the Bulldogs-Eels game. And I was like, as a rugby league fan, once the season finishes the year before, you kind of have a few weeks off thinking about it maybe, or like focus on some other hobbies in your life. And then as the summer goes on, you're like lying on the beach and you're like, it's going to be different for my team next year. Like, I think I speak for everyone when I'm like, over the summer, all you do is think about how good your team's going to be the next year.
Yeah,
like, 100%. You're like, the coaches will change.
Yeah.
You know, we signed this guy, we signed that guy. It's going to be so much better. And then you turn on the TV and Jamin Salmon is starting at lock for your team round one. Full strength, they're just like, no.
Here we go again.
And the Dogs, honestly, it's sad to watch what was once such a great club.
I know.
Mate, Mal Meninga at halftime had one of the all-time shittest analysis of that first half of footy. He was like, oh, yeah, like, you know, both teams go into the sheds and neither team should be disappointed with what they've just done out there. And they start going into the stats and it was like Parramatta had 82% of attacking football. Yeah. Like, they started like really going into it. I was like, they're down like Bulldogs are down 14-0.
Yeah.
And they haven't looked like scoring. If I'm the coach, I'm fucking fuming.
I'm printing out a sign that says fuck him and laminating it.
Exactly.
Mate, the commentators treated the Dogs like they were Make-A-Wish kids. Like it was like how incredible that they're still within 14 of Parramatta. It's like, yeah. It is a salary capped league in round one.
And they also had what's some unbelievable signings as well.
What like, is the expectation?
Dogs have a pretty stacked side.
Yeah. Oh, I don't really like their roster on paper, but they should be better than they were last 100%, year.
100%. Yeah.
And like Mitch Moses had a dodgy groin, played the whole game in a dinner suit.
Yeah.
And it's like they still couldn't do anything.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's like, oh, it's good signs for the Dogs. You know, their fans should be happy. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
That is sad. That is sad to watch.
Come and support then, the Broncos.
And then Sunday. The Finns, I said at the start of the season, I was worried about them going into this year.
Yep.
They got steamrolled by Donnie's Cowboys.
Yeah, fucking hell.
But
Donnie fucking let us know about it too. Yeah. Good on you, mate. You beat the Finns. Yeah. What did they finish last year? 13th or something?
Yep.
Like,
not good.
Congratulations, yeah.
Donnie's got to learn from Ricky Stewart, mate. Ricky Stewart in the press conference after, they gave him all these compliments. He just said, mate, it's round one. I don't care.
Yeah.
Mm. Keep the head down, Donnie. But,
that's it.
But the big takeaway from this game was the Hammer. We love the Hammer.
We do love the Hammer.
Yep. He had an absolute shocker.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, honestly, the worst game I've ever seen him play, and he was given one Dally M point.
I was going to say, didn't he get a Dally M?
He got a Dally M point.
Mate, he kicked the ball straight to someone for a try.
Yeah, like they put a kick in.
Maybe he got it for the try assist.
Maybe. And instead of diving the ball, he's tried to toe it ahead for himself on his own 10-meter line, kicked it straight to the Cowboys. There are a couple of other awful plays, and it was just like, what is going on with the Dally M system? It has always been terrible, but like now you can't even see who does the votes.
Yeah.
And for a player who is just easily one of the worst on field to get a top three player on the field from both teams in a game where they lost by 30
they
points.
They got pumped.
Yeah.
They like got the pumped. Fact that they couldn't find a Cowboy to give 1 point to is outrageous.
Like the Cowboys had so many good players that game. Yeah. For Hammer to get 1 point, it was like, come on, man. And yeah, like I thought the Dally M's kind of hit their rock bottom a few years ago when Ruan Sims voted on a game she didn't even watch. And then there was the year where Jack Whiten won, which was like, oh my God, come on. And then, but like, it just seems to go from bad to worse, really.
Yeah, it's almost a fucked system in the way that like, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but if you have like other superstars in your team, you're less likely to win.
They sabotage each other's points.
Yeah, because they take each other's points. Yeah, so is it really a reflection of like, the best players in the league. It's a tough one.
So something came up years ago, like when Luke Brooks got the half of the year. There was a couple of halves that had like phenomenal years. Everyone's like, oh, but Luke Brooks got Dally M half the year. It's like, yeah, but name anyone else in that Tigers team that would have taken points away from him. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
But like, for example, the Sharks beat the Warriors on Friday night, played really, really well as a team, but like, the Sharks don't have that many big names and it was kind of like a bit of a grind. Like they defended really, really well to win and Nico got 6 points for the game. So both voters gave him man of the match.
Yeah.
And it's like Nico played okay, defended pretty well, but like it's just a case of the Sharks won.
Yeah.
Nico's their biggest name by a mile, like man of the match.
Give it to him. Yeah.
And it's just like, come on. It's such a flawed MVP system.
It's very reminiscent of what they do in the Jeeps lower grade system. You walk off the field and you're absolutely gassed. You go, oh, give us your 3-2-1s. Who's your man of the match? You go, oh, fuck. Well, oh, Kieran always plays well, so we might just give it to Kieran. It's like, oh, Teitzel got 4 turnovers. Yeah, I don't know. Teitzel played like he does every week, so we'll just fucking give him 3 points because he's a flanker and the flanker's usually the one.
I remember Chubby back in the day.
He's
like, Pat, I remember Chubby having 18 turnovers.
Pat fucking Trubshaw, mate. He got 5th grade and 6th grade MVP 1 year because he played 4 or 5 games for 5th grade but got man of the match every time. And then 6th grade, same thing. Purely because it's like, oh, you know exactly what you're getting out of Trubby, and he got some great turnovers, did some good tackles, played the whole game. And I think that's the big part. Played the whole game.
Come on the field rubbing your eyes tired and some manager like sticks a pen in your face and it's like, you look around, Trubby's dirty as and
give it to him.
Literally, there's been one or a couple of occasions where I've got points and I'm like, oh my God, wow.
Yeah.
What did I do in that game?
Played a few minutes.
Played a couple of minutes. But like, I'm like, wow, like I must have actually done something. And then it's like, oh, there's a whole bunch of new kids and I
don't know their names.
They really know because
podcast.
That's it. So
if you listen to the podcast and get to vote for Clutzy this year, give him your 3.
Please.
Let's see how many MVPs he can get.
I would love to get
Are you playing this year?
Yeah. I actually played on the weekend for 20 minutes and it was
Are you playing this year?
Fuck no.
Yeah.
Not a chance. I've got a ginger to knock out.
Same. I got some little cunt to knock out too. I won't talk badly of him because that's up to our fans.
Exactly right. The fans will be the only ones talking. But yeah, how good's having footy back? Was that it for the weekend?
Yep, that is it.
Bring on this weekend. If you're listening to this, Broncos Rabbitohs tonight, and geez, I'm excited.
So just quickly, what would you do to change the Dally M's?
I think what they do in America, where it's like a bunch of different people from different categories, like journalists, coaches, yeah, players, XYZ, it's like 50 to 100 people have a vote, and you do it like that.
Yeah.
Because then I think the best overall player of that season wins.
Yeah.
Like the last few years, I don't think the best player that year has won. Like Caelan Ponga, no one had him as their best player last year.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to rock up to the Dally M's until they told him to.
Yeah.
He was going to win.
Yeah.
Like I think, at the end of this season, a whole bunch of people vote for the awards.
Yeah. Fucking
good way to do it. A way better way to do
it's
it.
It's great. Maybe they should get you in charge at NRL headquarters.
Yeah. CEO Jack Cronin.
I like the sound of it.
Yeah, I do too.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Something that came across my desk during the week was that I saw Josh Hazlewood being asked to sign some autographs at the cricket. Not uncommon at cricket. We've all been there.
No.
I used to have mini bats when I was little.
Yeah.
Covered in signatures. Used to love that shit.
I still have mini bats.
I reckon I wouldn't even know half the players when I was getting it.
Was a classic.
Nathan Horowitz and all those sorts of operators.
I went to a Valley's first grade game when I was a kid and got them to sign my stuff.
Valley's first grade?
Oh my god.
Chad Hayden was playing.
Yeah, okay.
But I was like 7 and then I got the whole team to sign it. And there were guys who would just be like, you're Jack Beats now.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, he comes from Maris. She's like, what the hell?
Bro, they got some fucking throbbers down there in Valley's first grade these days, though.
Can you please find whatever you've got signed by Valley's first grade?
I think it was a program for that day or maybe one of my white shirts.
To track one of those guys down on Facebook and be like, do you remember signing this?
I'm pretty sure that Keith Dudgeon's son was playing, I think.
Hectic.
Yeah, right.
But then there were a couple of good players, like Haydos, obviously, like Joe Dawes and that type of thing. But yeah,
what a
bunch of randoms.
Yeah, I love that.
Anyway, the reason we bring it up is because Josh Hazlewood was being asked to sign sandpaper. And credit to the man, he did sign it.
Yeah.
Which I was surprised by, but I suppose, what are you going to do? Fucking, it's pretty funny.
I don't think Starkey was as friendly, I heard.
Oh, really?
I don't think so, but that's allegedly.
Yeah, okay. Crow made a good point just before that I didn't even think about, but this was against New Zealand, not even England.
Yeah.
No. Where the fuck do they get off?
Yeah, well, this is, as I said on the pod before the test series, they've been apparently waiting for this because they never got to have a crack at Warner and stuff because we haven't been there since sandpaper.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
they've waited their turn patiently for all these
Warner
years.
Retired.
And 6 years later, they finally get to have a crack. One player from the team still, like one player who's involved in it still there. And it's just like, okay.
That's so funny.
That's so far because like, I don't know, like New Zealand, like you've been wanting this for so long and you were so shit.
Yeah.
Did we beat them in all three T20s?
We beat them 5-0 across the T20 test.
Like, fuck me. Take your Kane Williamson, take it off your fucking shoulder. There is no chip on your shoulder anymore. You fucking suck at cricket.
Didn't they, what was I about to say? I completely just had a mind blank. Oh, the game yesterday, well, which would have been 2 days ago for this into 3 days ago, we actually came close.
Oh, mate, we were cooked.
Yeah, we were fucking cooked. I was going to say, I didn't get to watch too much of it, Crow. Can you give us a quick update? I'm sure you tuned into just about every fucking ball.
I kept an eye on it for every ball of every day. Yeah, but no, it was actually pretty good. We really rolled him in the first test, but we got saved by Cam Green, made 174, not out.
Yeah,
and we ended up winning by 172, and that was kind of the outlier. Like it was a really low scoring game.
Yep.
But him and Hazlewood had a 116 run last week at Partnership,
insane,
which was awesome.
Yeah,
and then we ended up rolling them in the fourth innings. But then this test, we won the toss, sent them in, bowled them out for 160. It was like sweet wet. Like we were pretty much had one hand on the golf clubs ready to play.
Yeah.
But then we collapsed as well. Only had a 90 run lead, which we should have had much more. They batted really well. And then we were 4 for 30 chasing 270.
Oh.
And it was same thing that we've had all summer where the whole batting lineup fails every single match or every single innings, but one of them in every innings decides to actually do something. And the first innings, Marnus made 90. No one else made above 25. Second innings, obviously, again, 4 for 30. Marsh makes 80. Carey makes 98, not out. Pat Cummins saves us again with the bat, makes 32, not out. And we beat them. But they were so confident on the because on at stumps on day 4 or day 3, we were 4 for 30. Oh, sorry, 4 for 70.
Yep.
Travis Head gets out second over of the day. We're 5 for 70 chasing 280.
Yeah.
And the commentary was very New Zealand-centric.
Of course.
Like the only Australian there representing us was Brad Haddin and Brendan Julian.
Oh.
And they're both very one-eyed fans. And so they were kind of sticking it to them a fair bit. And then in the fourth innings, before we'd even won, Brendan Julian said, like Australians, like disregard that this is against New Zealand. This is one of our best ever test wins, which is so disrespectful to New Zealand to be like, they're not worthy of being one of our best wins.
Yeah.
But genuinely, it was an incredible run chase. And yeah, New Zealand, they haven't beaten us there in 31 years. And I think they thought they had us and they blew it.
Right.
So unlucky.
How do you guys feel about Pat Cummins hitting the wing runs and not letting Carey hit his 100?
I respect it.
I don't
you respect it.
Yeah, I don't care. Well, like,
don't carry.
Heaps of people are like, oh, but like, all we needed was two runs. Like, it's like impossible to lose. Didn't some cunt take like six wickets in six balls? It doesn't matter what. Like, cricket is that sort of sport where there might be two runs.
We went too far.
Yeah,
like
Cummins gets out in his line and Hazelwood left. We needed 50 runs with 5 wickets in hand. Marsh got out, Stark got out first ball. Suddenly the game flips.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if he dotted it out and then Carey got out and we lost. And Cummins was like, I was trying to save Carey's 100.
Yeah.
And also, like, I doubt Carey cares.
Carey didn't care. He was apparently like turning back for the second. The whole mindset is you go out there to win.
Yeah.
Also, it's great for his average.
Yeah. Great for his 100%. Average.
Great for his average.
And when we did, but it got me thinking, boys, if you were to be asked at the local cricket ground, say you were playing like a content T20, which may or may not be happening, and there was punters. Yeah, there was punters there, and they reached over the fence to ask for an autograph. What would they get you two to sign? Plutzy, if that's your list, that's a fuck. I'm impressed.
I've got other people as well.
Okay, I was going to say, I'm fucking impressed by
the
list. Just like one thing.
Yeah, I've got one thing too.
For
so
me,
you go
personally. Yeah. If you could, probably my farts because I do so many of them.
Yep.
But
maybe
also,
like a perplex jar. Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Bottle of jar. Bottle of fart.
Next merch run. Bottle of Plutzy's fart.
Fucking oath. Who's the chick that sold bath water?
There's heaps of them.
Yeah, well, fuck, I'm going to add to
Annette,
it.
Was it?
No.
I think I got some.
And then I think the other thing would just be a piece of Jeep's turf.
Yeah. Nice. That'd be cool.
Just a nice, simple.
Yep. Oh, I had for me, people gave me lots of stick on the podcast last year for mentioning how many times I went to Bali. So I was thinking maybe a Bintang singlet or a pair of Prada Sunnies.
Darcy would sign a Bintang to remind us that he went to Bali.
Yeah. The other thing I was thinking would be like an LGBTQI flag because everyone keeps calling me a lesbian.
Yeah, nice.
So there's that too. That would probably be my two.
You go, Matty Berwick?
Yeah. Crow, what about you?
I'd like printouts of scorecards off Frig Info.
That's what I was thinking for Crow as well. Yeah, Sheffield Shield stats.
Some of my favourites.
I have for Crow the first jersey he played in for the Spurs this year. Shout out to Wemby.
Yeah, nice.
But otherwise, so I'm printed out tweets of yours from your glory days.
Yeah.
Harry Wilson would have a lot of those.
Oh, he would have a fair few of those saved up.
The only other thing I could think of for Crow was another scorecard, and that was when he went none for 52 off two overs at Morris College Ashgrove.
Yeah. Just switching gears for a second. Speaking of the glory tweets, one thing I did back in the day was when we first came back for rugby league. Remember how we were the first sport in the world to come back? And they were geeing up that Americans were going to start watching rugby league.
Yeah.
I changed my name to as if I was an American and was like tweeting through the whole game, like as if it was the greatest thing ever. And then during the Vegas games, there were a bunch of people doing it this year. And I was like, it was like the Oppenheimer meme where it's like, what have I created?
That's so good. I did see a few of those screenshots of tweets and stuff. That was pretty funny.
Yeah, and so many people were taking them as if it was an actual American. The guy's name is an American flag.
Yeah.
His His at was a reference to rugby league, and he was being like, this guy from the Manly Sea Eagles, Trbojevic? Come on.
Give me a spell.
So good.
What else you got, Klutz?
All right. I've got for our good friend of the podcast, Luke Bateman. He just signed statues. So, yeah, that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Bato as well. What about the tweet you saw today that you said Josh Bateman was it?
Yeah, Josh Bateman. Neither of them correct. John or Luke.
Also, just on Bado, I was sorry he was going somewhere. I was
going
like,
to Bali.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I'm heading off to Bali, just doing a quick detour through China because it was cheaper.
What?
I was like, how the fuck is it cheaper to go from Australia to China to Bali? Bali?
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Crazy. It's very rugby league to go on a solo trip to Bali and then try and find a cheaper way to do it.
100%. Good business. What if he'll come back with a sleeve tattoo?
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Bring me some bintangs, bro.
I've got more, but you guys haven't.
No, I just did myself, so I'm glad.
I've one for other people. Yeah, I was because the sandpaper thing is like such a tired, lame old joke. I was thinking getting Cam Smith to sign a ref's jersey, which is a classic joke from dads back in the day.
Yeah,
I had a similar vein with Richie McCaw.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Doing a similar sort of thing, but maybe like ref's jocks.
He's always upside.
Ref's jocks. I've also got Beto's jocks.
Also had a couple more to round it out. Trevor Chappell, he could sign a bowling ball or a lawn bowls ball.
Who's Trevor
Chappell? Trevor Chappell did the underarm.
Yeah. I thought he was that dude. You know that dude who recently retired? Like, who do you think you are?
Nate Miles, a piece of the carpet that he shat on from the hallway.
Good.
That'd be fucking
That's
sick.
Very good.
I genuinely love one of those. And then my last
Pretty
one.
Pretty sure that was in there, yeah.
Luciano Leilua could sign the mouthpiece of the Breatho that got him up in Townsville before he left.
Good, very good.
And I think most police officers would be pretty happy if they caught a rugby league player doing that sort of stuff and then got the mouthpiece and got them to sign it.
Be worth a pretty penny one day.
Fucking oath.
That would be good.
Yep.
Right, we had a few messages last week about footy tips and who we're tipping, so we thought we'd round out each sports show every week with our tips. To kick things off this week, Thursday, 14th March, Suncorp Stadium, the boys returning home, the Brisbane Broncos against South Sydney Rabbitohs. What are we thinking?
That's a unflattering odds for the Rabbitohs there.
$3.07, thanks to Bluebet.
So I'm going to take the 12th place Broncos here to win.
Yeah, the Broncos, they haven't had a great start to the year, but I like them 13 plus.
I said to Klutzy, I think the Broncos will win so well that South Sydney will be erased from the NRL history books. Like, they will blow them out of the park that far. That South, people won't even remember who South Sydney were.
I'll have to go fucking watch that somewhere.
Moving on.
Why don't you get Matty Buxton with us?
Yeah, the first Friday game. How good's daylight savings in Queensland, by the way?
5 is awesome.
I didn't realise that last week. Caught out. Actually had a disciplinary hearing in our punt club because I missed the multi deadline because I didn't realise how early the game kicked off. Sharks Bulldogs. Sharks at home. Points Bet Stadium. $1.31.
It's a hot take, but I like the Sharks.
Yeah,
I think the Bulldogs will give it their all and get close, which will be such a great effort for the Bulldogs.
I'm going Sharks as well.
I'm going Sharkies too.
By a fucking shitload. And the second Friday game, Panthers-Eels. This should be a good game, I reckon.
Fucking oath. I can't believe the Eels are $3.
Yeah.
Eels love beating them in the regular season.
I know, but I think Panthers lost the World Club Challenge, lost to Melbourne. I think they come back.
Yeah, they don't lose three in a row.
No, I think they'll be fucking fired up.
Yeah.
At Bluebet Stadium.
Yep. It's a big game as well because they play the Bronx week after. Yep. So it's. Yeah. Yeah.
You wouldn't want to be going yet three. Like, yeah.
0-3.
0-3. Yeah. I'm going Panthers.
I think I'll go an offset. I'll go Para.
There you go.
I'm going Panthers.
Cronin, Saturday, 16th of March, 2 p.m. The Mighty Raiders, GIO Stadium, West Tigers. If you can't win that, you're in a lot of trouble, man.
I know. I'm backing the Tigers in.
How does it back in the Tigers in? Yeah.
We're going the reverse jinx, baby.
Yeah, Cronin hates backing his own team. Is Caesar playing?
Yeah,
he's 14th man.
He's on the bench, man.
How do you feel about that?
I was pissed off. There were some good discussions in the Raiders in our Raiders group chat today because
Raiders group chat. Yeah,
the Durs called, what's called. But
the what?
Because it's like Discord.
Yeah.
The app, but yeah, Durs, Raiders, yeah. Ray Durs.
Yeah, I like Durs it. Called.
So in 2018, the game where Luke Bateman became famous for not putting pressure on a marker, Aiden Caesar was bench hooker for the Raiders in the number 14 jersey. Famously hated playing hooker more than anything in the world. And so that was brought up today and we're all laughing at Luke Bateman again. So
all roads point to
Aiden Caesar, yeah, back in that jersey. Enjoy, brother.
Well, I'll be taking the Raiders.
Yeah, I'll be taking the Raiders too. The second Saturday game, 4:30 PM, Cowboys Knights up in Townsville. That should be a fucking good game as well.
Oh, the Cows.
Yeah, I've got the Cows here.
I kind of want to go an upset there. I think the Cows did play well, it was the Dolphins.
I think the Cows are having a bounce back year. They didn't really play that well last year and they seem to be more settled.
Talked me into it. I'll go Cows.
Well, you can be your own person, you know.
Fuck, this will be a good game. I keep saying it. But 6:35, Amy Park, Melbourne, the Storm play the Warriors.
Well, it's impossible for the Warriors to win when they can't score a point. So Melbourne Storm will continue to keep teams scoreless and they'll go on to win.
Gutsy's hot take for the season is that the Storm won't concede a point all season.
They'll have the best point differential in NRL history.
Yeah.
Purely because they wouldn't have conceded a single point.
$2.39 for the Warriors. Well, I think that is outrageous value. I'm tipping the Storm as well.
Yeah, I like the Storm too.
Sunday games to wrap it up. Seagulls, Roosters.
Oh,
fuck.
This is a tough one. I'm going to go the Seagulls.
I'm going to go the Seagulls too. Fuck it.
I'm, you know what,
I'm chooking around here.
Fuck the Chooks.
The only thing I'm hating about this is that I've picked all home teams so
Me
far.
Me too, yeah. But that's okay. That one's an upset technically, Klutzy. So.
Yeah.
And to round it out, game of the round, Sunday afternoon, KO Stadium. The Redcliffe Dolphins play. Oh, sorry, the Brisbane Dolphins
play. The Dolphins.
Yeah, the Dolphins play the St. George Dragons.
Oh.
Don't even know if they're the St. George Dragons anymore.
Illawarra.
Might be the Dolphins playing the Dragons.
This is genuinely tough.
I'm going Finns. Finns up. At home. KO Stadium.
The Finns have just dropped Sean O'Sullivan.
Hectic.
And Tezzy New. They made wholesale changes.
Yeah. Connie is out as well. Yep. Ray Stone's out.
Yep.
Jared Wallace does come into the team, so expect him to be an anytime try scorer off the bench, punters. But I think I'm going to have to go the Dragons.
Yeah, I'm going the Dragons as well.
I'm going Finns. That's all we got time for this week. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget, tomorrow's your last opportunity to buy a Dream Big Fart Loud shirt. 6 PM Friday, the pre-sale will close, so get around it if you haven't already.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, Crow. Thanks for jumping on.
Pleasure.
We'll see you all next week.
Bye. The podcast this week is brought to you by Domino's.
It is brought to you by Domino's. Now, as you know, Clutzy and I have been hard training for the Boxing Royale, which took place over the weekend. Domino's hit us up today and we're like, we've got a bit of a reward, boys, for all your hard work. We really want you to treat yourself this week. Ooh. So they've come to us with a new code for us to share. But we thought, you know, let's share it with the frothies as well. Why not? Like, they didn't specify saying that it's not for everyone else.
Yep.
Now, the code is BBBB. There's four Bs. Just I wanted to, like, just emphasize that to make sure people know I'm serious. Four Bs, WK, which stands for Boost Week.
Basically. Ooh, lovely. BBB Boost Week.
So for this week only until Sunday, you can get one pizza for 30% off, two pizzas for 40% off, or three pizzas for 50% off that code.
That's fucking incredible.
It is fucking incredible, Josh.
That's so good. And I think we have earned a lot of pizzas.
Yeah, I might have 50,000 pizzas this week just to make up for it.
Yeah, what? So that's like, you're only going to pay for like 25,000 of worth.
Yeah, so we're essentially making money.
Yeah, exactly.
You're getting 25,000 pieces for free.
When you do bike maths, it's essentially you're eating for free for the rest of your life.
The more you eat, the more you make.
Fucking oath.
So if you want to make money this week, go to Domino's and use the code BBBBWK.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.